Great day. Glad you guys are here. We're starting a brand new series called Experiencing God in Your Life. I think all of us want to experience God in the daily, right? Like, that's why we're here at church, right? We want to sense God in our lives, speaking to us, leading us, guiding us. And so how is that possible? I'm excited about the series. We're going to dig right in. And a lot of this comes from the original work of a guy named Henry Blackaby. He wrote a book called Experiencing God. He wrote it over 30 years ago. He's now with the Lord. And but it's a great book. The book really impacted me in a huge way. Maybe you read it too. Maybe you're someone who's walking with God a long time. You read it a long time ago, or maybe you didn't. But it's really, the principles are powerful. It's based upon the life of Moses. I love this book, and we're going to be unpacking Moses a little bit. But we're not just going to be taking his story. We're going to be taking snippets from it about how he walked with God. I'm very excited about this message. You guys ready to dive right in? Yeah. Let's do it. It says in Exodus 33:11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I love that. So today's message is called Face to Face. God wants to have it like that with you, like he had it with Moses. And so I'm very excited about today's message. So we're just going to jump right in. I got four simple principles to give you today about how you can have a face to face walk with God. And so I'm excited about this. Let's just jump right in. Let me show you, first of all, in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, this is in the middle of a story. We're not going to go back and do this in chronological order, but there's this moment when Moses is basically a middle-aged guy. He is working for his father-in-law. He's already left Egypt. He left way earlier when he was younger, and now he's working for his father-in-law. He's married. He is watching sheep, and he's wandering off into the wilderness, and he sees a burning bush. But the bush was not being consumed. Now, that would be very interesting to see, right? He's like, what is going on? This is crazy. There's a fire on it, but it's not being consumed. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice from the bush, and this is what the voice says. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And so the reason I want to point this out right at the beginning is because God initiates the relationship with Moses. Moses doesn't initiate with him. And that's the same for you and me. God initiates our relationship. And so, in fact, for us to even have a relationship with God, God had to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us to pay the price for our sin, because the only way you can be face-to-face with God, when he's a totally, completely holy and perfect God, his very presence would kill us because of our imperfections. So it's only possible for us to be face-to-face with God if God sent his son. And he sent his son long before you and I were even alive. Think about that. So he initiates the relationship with us. In fact, maybe you're in church today and you sense God may be speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit initiating a relationship with you right now. And at the end of the message, we're going to give you a chance to connect with God and have a personal relationship with him. But have you ever had God speaking to you? Ever sensed it, like in the middle of a sermon, or maybe you're listening to a Christian song or reading a book or something, and you're like, man, I feel like God is speaking to me. He initiates that with us. He is the lead. This is what the Bible says. The Lord goes before us. Before we ever say, God, I need you, God says, I want you first. And so that's what he says. Look at it says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, long before he laid the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love. Before God even made the world, he already had your picture in his wallet. You are the apple of his eye. He is crazy in love with you. In fact, we forget this. That think about how amazing it is that God of the universe loves us and wants to know us and walk with us. When they asked Jesus one day, they said, Jesus, what's the most important of all the commands? Of all the commandments, what's the most important? He said, that's easy. And this is what he said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Maybe you come to church because you're like, I need to hear from God. I need to know what his will is. Oftentimes when we think, what's the purpose that God has for my life? We're thinking about, what are my gifts? What are my abilities? Where am I going to work? What am I going to do with my time? How am I going to make a difference in the world today? But that's actually not the highest purpose God has for you. Yes, God has things for you to do, but the highest purpose God has for you and I is simply to love you and you love him. That's the number one reason you're here. He simply is crazy about you and wants to be in a personal relationship with you. Would you write that down? First thing I want you to know, you were created to be loved by God, and to love him back. He intentionally made it this way. And so he wants you to be in a relationship with him. This may surprise you, but he wants to be connecting with you on the daily. Like daily you talk to him and he talks with you and he leads you and he directs you. Isn't that great to know that God's a personal God? He's concerned about our affairs. He cares about our lives personally. Does anyone else get excited to know that this great big God loves you personally? It's a personal walk that God wants to have with you. You are his priority. The question is he your priority? Right? Because you are his priority, clearly. Now, I want to show you something in Scripture that maybe you never noticed before. Or maybe you've seen it before and you caught it, but maybe it's new to you. Exodus chapter 34. This is after Moses had spoken to God. God spoke to Moses, says, you know, Moses, here I am, Lord. And then, of course, God gives him instructions. And we're going to talk about more about that in the next few weeks, about how God told him to go back to Egypt and set my people free. They're enslaved, and get them out of Egypt. And of course, he does that. And through a series of miraculous events, they are freed from Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. God literally parts the Red Sea, you know, just like the movie, right? It's actually from the book, from the Bible. Parts the Red Sea. They go through it. God then swallows up their enemies. It's an amazing story. But then God leads them to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where they are to go and worship God. It's called the Mountain of God. Moses climbs to the top of the mountain. And when he's up there, God gives him the Ten Commandments, right? And then he comes back down the mountain. Maybe you've heard the story. Maybe you've seen it. How many of you guys are already picturing Charles Heston in your mind right now? You're seeing the image. Oh, I saw that movie, right? Okay. Or maybe you saw the cartoon one, right? Okay. So let's pick up the story. Exodus 34, 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant. Another translation says his face was glowing. Isn't that crazy? So imagine from a distance, they're like, I think, is that Moses? I feel like he's holding maybe a torch. Is he holding a light? And he gets closer and they're like, that's Moses' face. How much of a freak out would that have been that his face was literally lit up? It was bright. They're like, Moses, can you turn the wattage down there? He's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even realize it, but just being in the presence of God lit him up. His face was radiant. So his face is radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses gave them the commands the Lord had given them on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Now, how many of you are like me and you probably thought, well, he did that because, you know, it was so bright. So like, hey, Moses, can you cover your face up? It's really bright, right? That's not why he did it. Let's keep going. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And he would go into something called the tent of meeting. He would go and meet God face to face. When he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. So this is something that repeatedly happened. Now, I thought for years that Moses put the veil over his face just as a convenient thing so he wasn't blinding people. You know, Moses must have been kind of a freak looking, you know, to see him, his face lit up, right? Although there's definitely a practical side. I'm sure they were like, hey, I need to go back in the cave. I put some stuff there. I can't see anything. Can you go grab Moses real quick? I need to be able to see in the cave, right? I mean, there's a practical side, right? And so, but he put a veil over his face, and I always thought he did that not to blind people or not to, you know, make it awkward for them. But that's not why. We know because the New Testament tells us why. Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians 3. He says this, we use great boldness in our speech, and we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. Oh, wow. Moses put a veil over his face because he was embarrassed that the glory of God was fading off of him. You know, Christians are known for one thing. I hate to say this, but it's true. Being fake. Let's just be honest. Isn't that the biggest criticism you have from people that maybe you love, maybe family and friends, who say, I can't believe you go to that church. I can't believe you gave them money. What are you thinking, right? And so someone's, how many guys have a family member like that, right? You know, and they'll say, oh, they're just a bunch of fake hypocrites, right? And so, but the reason why the world calls us fake is because we are. We don't like to admit this, but we all have a fading glory. There was a time in our lives when we were closer to God than we probably are right now. That you were more excited about the presence of God and the power of God, to get in worship and to seek the Lord and to get in his word. And that tends to fade. And so I just want to encourage you that that's normal. But what we tend to do is what Moses did. We're a little embarrassed of that, so we just want to cover it up with smiles. And, you know, we learn all this really spiritual language, like, you know, praise the Lord. You know, we act like all's good all the time. And, oh, I'm just walking with the Lord. And, you know, every day with Jesus is better than the day before. And it's just, we got all these little quotes we say. But yet, when's the last time we really, you know, when we're like, praise the Lord, I'm going to the Lord's like going, when are you going to do that again? It's been a little while. So we kind of play fake because we don't want people to really know that the glory of God's kind of fading on us. Well, let me just ask you this. You ever been in a fight with your spouse? I bet you don't tell anyone. You don't want anyone to know. It'd be embarrassing. You wouldn't ever think, oh, no, we're good. We're tight. We're super close. And because it's a little embarrassing. God, I don't want anyone to see that. You ever been in a tense moment with your kids, maybe even getting to church today? You found your arms around a child you love going, get ready for church. We're going to learn about the love of Jesus. And then you walk in and you're like, you start back in and you walk up and say, hi, how you doing? Right? Bunch of fakers. We all do a little bit, don't we? Let's just be honest, right? Because we don't want to admit that the glory of God tends to fade. And so it happens to all of us. You know, we go through tough seasons. We go through difficulties. We go through seasons when we don't feel close to God. We don't really want to tell everyone that. Like, yeah, I haven't talked to God in weeks. I hadn't heard from him in months. You know, I came to church, didn't get anything out of that. You know, opened the Bible, I had no idea what that meant. I mean, I just don't feel close to God. Or maybe if we're a little more honest, we would say, well, I don't feel close to God because I just kind of walked away. I just do my own thing and instead of trusting him. And so we tend to have the fade going on, right? C.S. Lewis has a really great book he wrote years ago called The Screwtape Letters. If you've never read it, it's really good. It's kind of hard to read. It's a little old English sounding, but it's really, really powerful. And it's a fictitious story that he wrote about an older demon that's mentoring a younger demon on how to mess with us as Christians. And he says something in there. It's really powerful. It's brilliant. Again, fictitious story, but man, it helps you, gives you insight. Oh, wow, this is how the devil attacks me, right? So he says, the Christian, I love it in this book. He says, the Christian doesn't know about the principle. Let me make sure I get the word right. Sorry. Of undulation. Undulation is a fancy word for we have ups and we have downs. And we have ups. The demon will whisper in your ear, oh, you're so spiritual, it's amazing, it'll always be like this. And behind your back, they're going, no, it won't. Then you have a downtime, right? You don't feel so close to God. And what does that demon do? I mean, are you even a Christian? Look at you. You say you believe in God. Look at you. You're falling apart. So the demons know that you're going to have an up and a down, and they use it against you. All of us have this. You've been married for any length of time. You know that not every day is bliss. Not every day is wonderful and full of passion and romance. I mean, some days you just get through it. Some days you got to work things out and you don't want to tell anyone that. You just put the veil up. Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good. All's good. Our marriage is great. We put the veil up. We do this with God. We want to seem spiritual all the time, but none of us are that spiritual all the time. We have a fading glory. All of us do. There's this guy, older guy named George, and George was kind of the town drunk, little small town, and he would go from bar to bar, and he just, you know, didn't have a very good life and made a lot of bad choices, lived a really rough life. But every year, when the Baptist church in town would have their revival, George would slip in. And, you know, towards the middle or back at the end of the revival, he would come running forward and you know, repent of his sins. And it just, there's this old lady that sat in the front row, and it drove her crazy. She's like, oh, here comes George again. He doesn't mean it. We know he's going to be gone in just a few days, you know. And so, sure enough, the revival comes around again. She's frustrated because she knows he's going to show up. He doesn't really mean it, you know. But maybe he did mean it, but he just didn't know how to follow through. But, you know, it would frustrate her, right? And so, sure enough, she's sitting in the front. She's kind of out of the corner of her eye watching. She's, there he is. I know what he's going to do next. And towards the end of the night, he comes running forward with his arms up, and he says, Holy Spirit, fill me, Lord, fill me. And she jumps up and said, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. Well, we all leak, don't we? We have this fading glory. We don't like to admit it. We just want to experience God in a fresh new way, but I feel like I've been closer before than I am now. You ever felt that way? I want to point out something else. Did you notice that when Moses, his face was lit up, he also had the Ten Commandments in his hands as he came down? And I think there's a direct correlation between the closer we are to God's commands, the more lit up we stay. That they go together. In fact, this is what it says in the New Testament. It says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. That's one of the signs that you love God. Now, there's 10 commandments, and we're not going to go through all 10, but I just want to point out one, the first one, if I can. These are really important, and it's worth absolutely studying it and looking at it in great detail. These are the all-conference 10 big ones, right? So, but the first one can just stop you immediately. It says this, you shall have no other gods before me. God's like, I don't want anything between you and me face to face. I don't want anyone or anything between us. And I wonder if we're honest with ourselves as Christians, maybe we're more like face to iPhone, face to Netflix, face to social media, face to a boyfriend or girlfriend, or face to something that's really in the way of you and God, that you prioritized over him. It's easy to do this, of course, but I want to challenge you that just the very first commandment right there in the Ten Commandments is to not let anyone or anything get in between you and God. So if you're taking notes, number three is that God's love relationship with us also leads us to obey him. We are to obey his commands, to follow his word, follow his truth. And then it really leads me to this, and this is, I'm just going to get straight to the point if I can. We all have a fading glory, every one of us. But aren't we here today because we want to experience God? Aren't we here today because we want to be close to God today? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I feel like everyone right now watching, that's why you're here. You're like, I want to sense God in my life and walk with him and know him and him know me. That's what we all want. So how do we get back to that? Well, the truth is that the way you get back to it, it's kind of unpopular. It's kind of an unpopular teaching. This is not something you hear a lot of preachers and churches saying today, but this is how you experience God again. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, we have all had a human father who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father? It produces a harvest of righteousness. Righteousness means the very character of God is upon us. So it says here, it's relating our relationship with God like our relationship to our father. Now, I don't know your father. Maybe you did not have a good father. So this is hard to understand this scripture for you, or you don't like that. But there are good fathers. So I happen to have a really good father. He's 88, and I'm still glad I have him with me. And so, but my dad would discipline me. And it wasn't a sign he didn't like me. It was a sign he loved me. That's why he would do it, because he did care. He wanted to make sure that I was doing the right things, right? And so he would discipline me. And the more you walk away from God, the harsher that discipline tends to get. In fact, at one point, I don't have it in the scripture here right in front of me, but the Apostle Paul even says, sometimes God will just let the world break you. Like, you know, you're asking just to have the world, and God's like, then I'll give it to you. There it is. This is what the world has to offer. Many of us have tried that, and it was a big mess. And so this is not a bad sign. It's a good sign. God's saying, I love you enough to bring you back, to get you back with me. This is what David said about this when he was not honoring God. Psalms 32, he said, day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. You know what we call this today? Conviction. When you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon you, telling you you're not right with me. People say it in different ways. Sometimes people, when they come to church for the first time in a long time, they'll say, oh man, I know the walls are going to cave in on me. And what they're saying is, I feel a lot of guilt because I know I haven't been honoring God, right? And so David says, your discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. He's like, take the veil off. Okay, I'm a screw up. I'm a sinner. I was an idiot. I'm so sorry, God. Just confess it. And look what happens. And you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. That's why God convicts us. It's not because he doesn't love us, because he does love us. So I need to tell you something. The reason why we oftentimes don't experience God daily in our lives is because the first initial step is conviction. And we don't like that. Now, I know there's a lot of married people listening to the sermon right now, and if you're married, you can relate real easily to this. As a husband, I can relate to this. You know, if I treat my wife poorly, if I treat her badly, if I you know, say ugly words to her, if I'm not kind to her, if I'm mean, if I'm loud, if I just am disrespectful to her, chances are I'm not going to see her later that night and be like, hey, babe, I was going to see if maybe you're maybe in the mood. Maybe we could, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's going to be like, are you serious right now? How many ladies would be a little offended by that? Anybody? They'd be like, are you serious? And immature husbands, a very immature husband, I've even heard guys say this, will be like, oh, you know, babe, let's just put all that behind us. Let's just forget about all that. Let's just have it, you and me. And again, she's like, are you crazy? Like, you don't understand. We can't have it like that until you say you're sorry. Why would it be any different with God? So conviction is not to make you feel bad. This is where you say, God, I know I've offended you, and I'm really sorry. I want to get right with you so we can be close again. So believe it or not, if you only experience God today, maybe right now you are experiencing God. Maybe he's saying, there's some things that you got to let go of. There's some attitudes, some habits that where I want to take you, that can't go. And so it's a conviction. It's very quiet right now in our auditorium. See, convicting is not a, amen, let's go, preacher, kind of a message. But this is how you get right. You know, the reason why it's so hard to really be face-to-face with your spouse is because it's vulnerable. It's really hard. You're like, I don't have to admit that I'm a screw-up, but I can't get things really right with you until I admit where I'm wrong. It's such an important part. Back to that father relationship, if I can just say for a moment, you know, my dad's 88 now. I love him. He should be here next service or so. But my dad, you know, he was a strong man for a long time. Now he's older now. He's getting a little feeble, to be honest. And it scares me. I don't like that. I don't like seeing him like that, you know. But when I was younger, my dad was, you know, I don't know, 30-something years old or 40. When I was a little kid, I was scared of him. How many of you guys were afraid of your father? But here's the thing. I knew he loved me. It wasn't because he was abusive. It wasn't anything like that. It's just that I knew if I stepped out of line, oh, I'm going to hear it from my father. Like, I don't want to do that, right? And so I'll never forget when I was little, my sister's like 4 or 5 years older than me, and she hit those teenage years, you know, teenage girls. Whew, that's a rough one right there. I mean, I've raised one, right? And I'll never forget, I'm in the backseat of the car, dad says something, and my sister popped off at dad, and I remember turning, looking at her, and looking at him, being like, okay, she's about to die right now. She's about to get killed, right? You know, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's no way she's saying this to him, right? And so I had this fear. She did too, but I had this fear of my father, right? I still have a fear of my dad, but it's different now. Now I had a fear of losing him. Still a fear. It's just different. When you first come to your Heavenly Father, fearing the Lord is healthy. It keeps you from making decisions that will really hurt you. Because your good, loving Father looks out for you. But then as you walk with God, the Father, for a long time, your fear becomes, God, please don't ever lift your hand from me. I've lived with you for so long now. I don't ever want to experience life without you. If you want to experience God today, I believe he's here. I believe he's speaking to us. And the fourth thing I want to say today is to return to God and obey him. recognize that his conviction is his presence. It's not to make you feel bad, it's to draw you back and say, I love you and I want it like this with you. I want to be tight face to face for a lifetime with you. So I think we should do as Moses did when God initiated a relationship with him. God said, Moses, Moses, come here. And Moses went and he stood and he said, here I am, Lord. We don't quite get the meaning of here I am in our English language, but in the original language the Bible was written in is Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But the original Greek language, here I am, means here I am, I surrender to you. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. So can we stand as Moses did in the presence of God right now? Across all of our campuses, maybe you're watching online, you can just stand right where you're at. I want to encourage you to just to stand like Moses did, maybe even put your arms out in front and just say, here I am, God. I know you're calling me back. I sense it. I sense your Holy Spirit leading me. You've initiated this relationship again, and you said, I want you back. Just put your hands out and say, here I am, God. What do you want from me? Is there anything in my life that's in the way of me being face to face with you? Because I'm going to be honest, God, I've lost some of that glory. I feel like it's faded, and I want that back. I want to draw close to you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I bet right now you're experiencing God. You're experiencing his amazing presence, his pure love and care for you like a good father. And he's drawing you back in. Maybe your prayer today is simply, God, I'm sorry. You've been here all along, and I've been so consumed with myself, I forgot to keep you in first place. So I come back to you now. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you've never given your life to Christ, told you were going to give you an opportunity to receive him. Across all of our campuses, those watching online, you can pray this prayer. You see, God initiated a relationship with us by sending his son Jesus. Before we were even born, Jesus died for our sins that we hadn't even committed yet. He'd already died for them. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. And now he waits for you and me to receive him. You can pray this prayer right now across all of our campuses, those watching online. Pray this prayer that you can accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior right now. That's how we connect to God, is through his son Jesus. Just pray this prayer. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. If you just gave your life to Christ, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you hold your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Jesus, just hold your hand high. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our different campuses. We see your hands. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. We see your hand right there at Rockport Fulton. Praise God. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Padre Allen. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Prison Ministry. Hold those hands high. We see your hands. You gave your life to Christ right now. Praise God. You're online with us right now. If you just gave your life to Christ, put it in the text chat. Just text, my hand's raised, or click hand raised right now. We thank God that you gave your life to Jesus. God, thank you that you're moving in this place. You're moving in all of our campuses, those online. We sense your presence drawing us back. And God, I would just say what you did for Moses, would you do for us? Would you light up our face? Because we're back with you in your presence. We want it like that, God. And Lord, when we sense the glory fading, we're just going to come back to you every day and just spend that time with you. Thank you, God. Lord, you don't just want to be close with those in the Bible, but you want to be close with us. Thank you, God. We sense your presence today. Thank you. We are experiencing you, walking with you now. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Well, thanks for being here today. I pray you.